Okay, so we're in part two of this Easter sermon series. And it's called In the Boat. Well, the series is called He Won't Take It Lying Down. And I'm going to do four messages of when Jesus is laying down or reclining that are spoken about in the Bible. And then, obviously, on Easter Sunday, he rises from the grave, and he's never going to lie down again. This Easter is going to be amazing if you let it be amazing. If you let the word speak over you, it will speak over you. You know, today's text we read out of Mark. I actually bought this T-shirt 4 years ago, and finally I can wear it while I'm preaching, and it actually means something. So it was out of the text today. So God's amazing. But this text is told three times. When Jesus calms a storm when he's sleeping in the boat. It's told in Mark, it's told in Matthew, and it's also told in Luke. I had you read Matthew this last week, if you read it. Jackie read Mark, and I'm going to touch on Luke. The story doesn't change much, by the way. The text is a little bit shorter, a little bit longer. That's about all there is. By the way, I just want to tell you, this is not the only time Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus calmed the storm twice. This was the first time. The second time was later when he sent his disciples off in the boat and the storm came and he walked across the water while it was storming. And then he didn't even speak that time, by the way. It just stopped. So that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that Jesus would show them this in the first place. So I don't know. I've never been to the Sea of Galilee. I would love to go there. I would love to go there. It is a beautiful body of water. It is not a sea. It may be a good sized lake, but it is definitely not a sea. But because it's surrounded by hills all around it, and it is 700 feet below sea level, it is prone to sudden violent storms, like the one we see in Mark, Matthew, and Luke, where this storm just starts. They go out, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, and then suddenly there's a storm. You could be out on your boat enjoying a beautiful day, and literally, out of the blue, a life-threatening storm could come. You know, that makes me think, because guess who was on the boat? A few fishermen that have fished this lake their whole entire life since they were probably 10 years old. They were experienced fishermen on this boat. They knew this water like you know the back of your hand. They were experienced. This is where they made a living until Jesus called them into ministry. So first and foremost, we've got to realize who's on the boat, right? And it would be calm, and the next, there is a raging storm threatening to capsize the boat. Here's a beautiful picture. This is why I want to have a picnic right there. Could you imagine? I mean, It's beautiful. This picture was obviously took on a beautiful day, but storms can come out suddenly. And I think that many of the storms that face us in life, the physical, emotional, and spiritual storms, are like that. We don't expect them. The physical storms, Jen just went through one. Do you think Jen expected to have a stroke a week ago? No. Life was going on, and suddenly it changes direction. A storm comes. One minute life is going quite smoothly, and the next, It's not. See, we go quietly, calmly, routinely, and one minute, and then suddenly, out of the blue, something happens which throws our life into complete and total chaos. Has that ever happened to you? Your life has been going so smoothly, and suddenly, there's chaos all around. That's my everyday, by the way. I think most of us, if we're honest, see chaos in our lives throughout the day. But some chaos is easier to handle than others. So every one of us face some these kinds of storms. There's simply no way to get out through life without them. You're not going to be born and die without going through many storms in life. There's no physical possible way that you're going to do that. And you might be facing some kind of storm today. Just like John said about the unasked prayers. The prayers that we don't speak about because, oh, we don't want to share our personal life with our brothers and sisters because that might be too risky. That's why we don't share prayers, by the way. Because we don't want anybody else to know our business. It may be raging within and threatening to overwhelm you with doubt and despair. So if that is the case, and even if it is not, there is much that we can learn from this powerful story that is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel. Chapter 8, verses 22 and 23 say this. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. See, in a sermon that Martin Luther preached on this story, he shared several lessons, and this is one of them. This is how he starts his thing. The first lesson of the gospel is that if you want to be a Christian and want to have the gospel, you must anticipate rough weather, for it is inevitable. A storm is coming. See, here's the thing. You can't follow Jesus and storms not come. We live in a broken world. How are we going to go through life without storms when the world is broken? See, these storms are inevitable. Even faithful Christians are not immune from them. It's not like you become a Christian and you get a vaccine and you're not going to have any more trouble anymore. Actually, I think being a Christian is more difficult than people want to tell you. I think it's hard to be a Christian. I think there's challenges to being a Christian. I think there's a cost to being a Christian. You see, in a very famous book, some of you might have read this book, The Road Less Traveled, by M. Scott Peck, he says this. This is how he opens his book. Life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. If you understand that life is going to be difficult, you can become above it because you know life is difficult. Life isn't a bunch of roses. Sometimes you're in the horse manure. Sometimes life stinks because it's not all easy. How many people in this room have lost somebody over the last few years? Yeah. Was that easy? No. It was hard. How many people have been diagnosed with medical conditions and had to go through that medical condition and know that you don't know what the end of the road is going to be. See, life is difficult. But when we know and we know that and we accept that life is going to be difficult, we can be above that. See, you need to know who's rocking the boat, because we'll all face storms. Who do you think was rocking the boat that Jesus and his disciples was in? God. You see, even no matter what, nothing can happen without God's permission. Nothing. It has to be allowed by God. I actually don't like that. Because I look at the difficult times in my life, like when my dad left, and go, and now I've had to come to the realization that God allowed my dad to leave. He allowed my dad to abandon me. Why? I know now why. But then I didn't. You see, now I know who was rocking the boat. Everything that I've been through in my life, God has had his hand in it. Everything, good or bad, he's allowed it to happen to me. We have to understand that God is in charge. That's why we have the book of Job, by the way. It clearly states that the devil needs permission to do anything to you. Nothing bad can happen to you unless it is allowed by God. For whatever purpose that is. And I'm not going to be able to explain that to you, because God is God and I'm not. I don't understand why he allows that to happen. But I understand he allowed it to happen. So first and foremost, we need to know in this story, who's rocking the boat? Who's causing the storm? Why do you think Jesus could sleep on a boat that was filling with water? Because here's the deal, the water wasn't waking him up. Jesus knew how to take naps. He was asleep and he was staying asleep. He didn't care about some water splashing over him. He was out. I'm telling you, I know that he was wiped. He had just done preaching, which is exhausting for a regular person. I can't imagine the energy that Jesus was using to preach in them days. And he was wiped. So he gets on a boat with a bunch of fishermen who know how to guide these waters and have been out on these waters many times in many storms. So that tells you how bad this storm was, and Jesus was still sleeping. Because guess what? Jesus knew who was rocking the boat. Sometimes we just need to realize who's rocking the boat. And then we can trust the person rocking the boat, because we've put our faith and trust in God. Yes, stuff we go through sucks. And life is hard. But I will tell everybody, being a Christian, life is harder than not being a Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you've got to have standards. You've got to realize that this book is real and it tells us how to live. It's not, oh, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, but nothing happened to me, and now I'm saved and I can go out and do whatever I want. That is not anywhere in the Bible. It's hard to find a passage in there that actually says you need to accept him. It actually says you need to follow him. Jesus never said to anybody, never said to anybody, accept me as your Lord and Savior. Jesus says, come, follow me. Which, by the way, translates to, because if you're following somebody, they are your master. We know he's Savior. So when he says, come follow me, he says, live my way, not your way. Your way sucks. Every time you live your way, you end up in trouble. Every time you trust yourself, you end up making bad decisions. But you see, that's what happens. When our life goes smoothly, guess who becomes in charge of us? We do. We throw God off of the throne and we put ourselves back on the throne because life's going good. I'll handle this, God. You can just go take a nap. I don't need you right now. I'll call you when I'm ready for you. When I get myself in so much trouble I can't get out of it, then I'll fall to my knees and I'll ask you to save me. But until then, just stay over there. You're interfering. So God allows stuff to get into our lives that makes us trust him. This is why he was allowing the storm. Not for Jesus. Jesus didn't need to trust his father. But these fishermen and the rest of the disciples, they did. They did need to. See, there isn't a storm that comes to you that did not pass through the hands of God. He goes on to say this. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. See, so here are the disciples in a boat. They're experienced fishermen who know these waters better than anyone, and even they are startling in panic. They're fearful. It's night, it's dark, and the winds and the waves are too much for them. You've got to picture this, because this isn't a storm that you've probably been through. You've probably not been on a lake with a storm at all, because we have stuff that tells us bad weather's coming, get off the lake. You see, the storm is starting to fill the boat with water. Will they make it? Or will this be the end of them? But wait, they remember who's in the boat with them. It's Jesus. Wow. Jesus is in the boat. We forgot that Jesus is in the boat. Our master, our teacher is in the boat. And what have they seen Jesus do to this point? See, these disciples have seen Jesus do some amazing things. They've seen Jesus heal diseases, cast out demons. He seems to have an inside track with God somehow. Maybe he can help. You see, so let's ask, what's this? Jesus is still sleeping. He's soaking wet by now, and he still hasn't woke up. Here we are, about to drown, and he's sleeping in the boat. Look at him, lying there on his cushion. We should wake him up. You know, we need to remember, keep calm. Remember, Jesus is in the boat. They didn't keep calm. But we need to remember that Jesus is in our boat, metaphorically speaking. See, they say, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? See, the disciples have known their master to be a caring man of God, willing and able to help people in need. So this just doesn't make any sense that he would sleep right through this urgent crisis, that he would not care about and do something about their deep distress. Do you ever feel like these disciples? Do you ever feel like, where is God? Doesn't he know what we're going through? Why doesn't he do something about it? And we can be going through that, and then we come to church and they ask us to sing songs like Good, Good Father. At the time we think, well, he ain't much good father now. I don't really want to sing that because I don't feel it. He always is a good, good father because he knows what's best for you. You see, do you ever ask this question? Why don't you do something about this? Whatever this is. Have you ever asked that? You've been praying and praying and praying and praying. And don't you feel like sometimes you ask, why, God, don't you do something? Just this one thing. Please do this one thing. We've all been there. I've done it several times. And I'll probably do it several hundred more times before I die. Why, God? I do realize now, like when my mom died and I have to pray to God. I prayed to God, fell on my knees and prayed, God, just keep her alive for 24 hours. That's all I need. She died 12 hours later. I didn't get to see her before she died. And I was angry at God because he didn't do what I wanted. And I will tell you, that's painful. But he doesn't owe me anything. I don't even deserve the cross. Neither do you. You don't deserve Jesus. That's the problem. We think we deserve Jesus. So he owes us everything else. He owes us a cushy life. Jesus doesn't owe us anything. Yet he gave us himself. He died for you and me. He chose to do that. If he never ever does another thing for you, and he takes everything that you have away, and you have to be homeless, living on the street, you've got more than you deserve. You've got more than you deserve. See, that's our mentality, though, isn't it? Why, God, are you not doing something about it now? All we do is Luke 15, the prodigal son. Okay, we become the older brother. I've done this for you, God. Why are you not doing this for me? That was the both sons were wicked, by the way. One followed Jesus because he got what he wanted. He was getting what he wanted. The other one didn't want to follow him because he wanted more. They were both wicked. That's what the whole story is about. Actually, there's a missing son. The missing son is Jesus in that story. See, he's got the power to change anything because he's God. We know he loves us because I tell you all the time, God can't love you any more than when you was your wickedest. But he also can't love you any less. So we have to ask, why are you letting me suffer? Don't you care? That was how the disciples felt this night. Don't you care? And once Jesus woke up, he shows that he really does care, that he's not going to let them perish. He rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace, be still. And it was so. You know what's beautiful about that part of the text? Peace. Because how did creation start? God spoke and it was. At what point? I don't know what point, but these disciples That's why at the end they're scared. Because Jesus speaks and it is beautiful again. Calm. Relaxing. See, the same as the creation story. Because when it says God spoke, it's Jesus speaking then. So he created the winds. That's why he could tell them to stop. But that's the point. Jesus here is demonstrating authority over nature itself, over the created order, and only God can do that. And Jesus exercises the power in connection with his care. See, he has care and concern for his followers. And he has the power and authority to do something about it on their behalf. See, this should be comforting. This should be encouraging to us. Know today, Jesus is not going to let you perish. You will not perish eternally if you've put your trust in Jesus. See, rather you will live forever because Jesus Christ is exercising his authority on your behalf. You see, he speaks and you are saved. He speaks to the wind and the waves, peace be still. And they have peace. They become still. See, the word of the Lord makes things happen. See, not many of us are out on a lake that much. So maybe this exact scenario does not fit our situation. We go, what's a boat and a lake and a storm got to do with us? I don't like water. I don't want to be on the water. I'm not a boat person. So what's this story got to do with me? But you have other threats to your well-being, don't you? You have other dangers you face, both physical and mental threats to both body and soul, illness, disease, disabilities. See, danger on the highways, afflictions, hardship, calamities, as Paul says, it's the human condition. We're broken. We're not going to be fixed this side of heaven. We are broken. Can we get better? Yes, but we are broken. This is not our new body. We're in an old body. See, some of it we bring on ourselves, though, don't we? Some of these problems we bring on ourselves. But even them, God allows to happen. Some of it's done by others, and he allows that too. And some of it, we don't even know what happened. All we know is that it hurt and it stinks. See, and there's one thing we all face sooner or later. Every one of us gonna face this. We're going to face death. We're going to face the grave. We will all face death at some point. There's not getting out of that. Not unless Jesus comes back before you die. That's the only way out. See, it's way of touching of all, us all. Like I said, first, indirectly, doesn't it? As we mourn the loss of loved ones and see ourselves surrounded by death, and eventually the Grim Reaper will come calling our name, and how are we going to get out of that? See, here's how. It's because Jesus is in the boat with us. It may seem for a moment like Jesus is sleeping and that he does not care. For the moment, it may feel that way. But we should rest assured. When those waves come so hard and so close that you feel like there's no hope, and there is still hope, Jesus will speak. to all the threats that threaten to overwhelm you. Jesus, your Lord and Savior, will say to the devil's accusations and to the death that would swallow you up. Jesus will speak his authority word and say, "Peace, be still." Jesus will say, "Shut up, devil. You have no room to talk. My shed blood has covered those sins. They are washed away and forgiven. Yes, they're not perfect. They're broken. But my blood, Jesus' blood, washed them clean. They are washed away and forgiven forever." Jesus will say, "Be muzzled, death. My resurrection has turned the tables on you. You will not have this one. She is baptized. You will not have him either. He is one of mine. They will live forever in my kingdom." See, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And yet there is another calm still to be bestowed. So let's keep reading. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" It is the calm that Jesus will give to his disciples. See, because right now they don't know what to make of this. If the storm distressed them, this power displayed by Jesus absolutely astonished them. "Why are you so afraid?" he asks. "Have you still no faith?" I mean, at this point, you see people say, "You know, if I met Jesus personally, I could follow Jesus. If I'd lived then, I would have walked with Jesus. I would have followed Jesus." The problem with that is the Bible. Because even the disciples didn't really know who he was. Even now, they're still going, their heads are not wrapped around this. And he asks them, "Have you still no faith? You've seen all these miracles. You've watched me tell a storm to stop. You still don't believe?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" See, the disciples are realizing that they are in the presence of one whose power goes far beyond anything they have witnessed before. See, who is this man? He commands the wind and the waves. Who can do that but? Yes. Who can do that but God? So what or who are you putting your faith in? See, now we have come to the bottom line of the story. It's about who Jesus is. See, lots of people believe that Jesus was a real man. You can actually read the Quran and it talks about Jesus. Jesus is in the Quran. Muslims will agree that Jesus is a real person. But you see, the problem is they don't say Jesus is God. See, the more time the disciples are spending with Jesus, the more they see him do, the more they hear him speak, the more they realize that he's no ordinary rabbi. The realization is beginning to dawn on them who this man might be. Could he be the Messiah? Is he the Christ? Jesus is revealing himself to be just that. But still, they will discover even more about this man, Jesus. They will learn what kind of Messiah he is. Not just a glory king, but a king who will suffer for their sins to do the will of the Father who sent him. See, it doesn't make sense by the world's standards, but it does by God's. Here is one who could command the waves, and yet he willingly goes to a cross to suffer and die. It doesn't make sense, does it? If he can stop the waves and the storm, he must have willingly went and allowed them to do what they did to him. Why? Because this is the way, the only way, that the storms of life and death can be stilled. See, Jesus had to die to still the big storm. This is the only way there can be true peace, peace with God, so that we can safely make it to our harbor. Here is Jesus, the very Son of God, the Word of God, by whom all things were made. And he does this suffering and dying for you. We need to remember that. We need to make it personal. See, and this is how you can keep calm when all about you is storming and howling, because Jesus is in the boat with you. That's how you can keep calm. He will not let you perish. Yes, there'll be pain here. Yes, you're not going to be in perfect health here. But if you're a Christian, you're not living for here. You love living for a day when you can be in the presence of God Almighty. Things will look bad, but in the big picture of things, you know you're going to make it. You know, really, if you look at your life, okay, and when you was going through that, whatever you was going through, you thought, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get to the other side of this? But at the end of that, when you get to the other side, you realize that God will bring you safely home. He always does. Jesus is saying to you today, to your fearful heart, peace, be still. So it is for you. You have the same Savior in your boat. See, the disciples, you and me, we're all in the same boat with Jesus, and that's a good place to be. Because peace be still, he speaks to the wind and waves. Peace be still, he speaks to the fearful hearts. And there was a great calm. So what or who do you put your faith in when the storms of life come? Is the first place you go to is this book and to speak to your Savior? Or is the first place you go to is to your bank account? Or your friends? Because they're things we need. You need good friends, good Christian friends, but that shouldn't be the first place you go. Jesus should be the first place you go. Jesus. Martin Luther ended his sermon on this very topic with these words. If you wish to be a Christian, you will certainly experience trials. However, if you call upon Christ in time of need, he will hear you, rescue you, and cause your trial. This is the most important part. And cause your trial to bear blessed fruit and great glory. You might get cancer, and God will hear you. But you might die from that cancer. But if you trust God, there's going to be great fruit out of that cancer. And he might heal you. And there's going to be great fruit out of that cancer. Here's the thing is, sometimes he allows us to go for things and he heals us from them things. Sometimes he allows us to be used and to use them things to glorify him. Because here's the deal. We exist for him. He doesn't exist for us. We need to always remember that. We exist for his glory. It's not the other way around. He's not a vending machine in the sky that will give you what you want. For the present, every necessity is met, and later, eternal life will follow. Martin Luther was a pretty smart guy, way smarter than me. And he says, our trials will bear blessed fruit. But they'll only bear blessed fruit if we go for them with Jesus on our side. And we look to Jesus to calm the storm. And we can go for it with the peace of Jesus, knowing who he is. That's how you become a really good witness, by the way. Because when people see you suffer and go through suffering well, that is the best witness you'll ever be. When you go through something hard and you still worship Jesus, then you'll get asked why. That's the day you'll be asked, why are you following him? He's allowing you to go through this because he's my God and he's my Savior. And even if I die tonight, he saved my soul. We need to remember that. So this week, I want you to take some time this week and thank Jesus for all the peace that he not only gave you, but also how he demonstrated it in his own life. And then I want you to read John 13, 1 through 33 to get ready for next week's lesson in this sermon series. In the upper room, we see the servant of God when he reclines at the table. So get ready, because if you allow God, he will move in your life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being a God who cares so much that you calm the storms of our lives. When trouble comes, we need to realize that we can rely on you to comfort us. Maybe we have to go through it for a while. That storm might last days, weeks, years. But we can know for sure that we are not in that storm alone. That you are with us. You are feeling the pain that we're feeling. And you're using it for your glory and your name. I ask that you just encourage us through them times, God, and help us to stay with our eyes focused on you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.